What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing on this Sunday evening?
Doing good. A little tired, but I just finished one of my part-time jobs, my summer job, which means more time to watch basketball on Sundays and Mondays. So that's I'm really excited about.
That's what we like to hear. The season is picking up. And as always, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Corey and I are going to add a new segment this week. It's called Stud and Dud of the Week. And this is strictly based off of this previous week, not the entire season. But Corey, go ahead and get us started with your Stud of the Week.
So my Stud of the Week is none other than Damian Lillard. Obviously the big Brooklyn outing is what sticks out. He had 60 points. Was really the only reason why the Portland Trailblazers were in that game, at least for a majority of the game. Had a tough loss against the Clippers early in the week where he had 22-6-6. And then on Monday, in another losing effort, had 39 points against the Golden State Warriors. The Blazers have had some injuries. They're not at their best. McCollum hasn't been as good as he was last year. He's definitely sluggish to start the season. But Lillard has been an absolute force offensively.
That 60 piece from Dame was nuts. And I'm telling you, like, the Nets were double-teaming him at times. He was hitting shots, 6 feet back at the three-point line. He was just unconscious, and he was cooking. And like you mentioned, he was the only reason they were in that game. But for me, I'm going with Luka Doncic, who over this past week averaged a triple-double, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, over 50% from the field. The Mavericks were 3-1, and he just kind of put the team on his back, and he's just continuing to rise in that level of stardom.
Yeah, I mean, Luka's, our OTG basketball top 50, where we had him ranked 39th, obviously we went low to start the season, and he is arguably a top 10 player in the NBA right now, maybe even top 15 with how well he's been playing. But yeah, another solid week. The guy might average a triple-double.
Yeah, he's on the verge of doing it right now. I think his numbers for the season are well over 20 points a game, over 10 rebounds, and just under 10 assists. But who is your dud of the week?
My dud of the week was Joe Ingles. First honorable mention to Justin Holiday. Even though he does a lot of fantastic things for TJ Leaf. Justin Holiday would be like another honorable mention. But TJ Leaf, who can't play basketball. That man is gifted with height. And he had a fluke performance against the Bulls last week. But that man's not good at basketball. But my dud is Joe Ingles. Just struggling shooting-wise. He had 1 point against the Bucks the other night in what was a game-winning shot from Bogdanović. But he just hasn't been very good this year so far, shooting under 40% from the field. Still gives some very good tangibles on the defensive end. But offensively, he's just been really bad to start this year, and he's my dud.
Yeah, and you mentioned my dud already, and that's CJ McCollum. Dame has been putting the team on his back, but CJ over this last week, averaging 14 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists on 32% from the field and 21% from 3. And like we mentioned, Portland is struggling. 3 losses this past week. They need their second star to really step up.
No, definitely. Especially with, the supporting cast. With Rodney Hood going down injury-wise, he was obviously really good for them in the playoffs last year, had a bigger role going into this year. Losing him hurts, and you really need McCollum just to start to get it going offensively. Without Nurkic, obviously, for most of this year. Whiteside, he struggles. I mean, he's had some solid double-double efforts, but he just kind of limits the offense. But Lillard, as you said, needs help.
Yeah, and that kind of segues us into our next segment, and that's about the injuries that have happened. There's been a couple big ones. We'll start with Portland. Zach Collins out 4 to 6 months with a shoulder surgery. You mentioned Rodney Hood banged up. Pau Gasol's out. Nurkic is out. And Whiteside just hasn't been living up to the hype. How much trouble are the Blazers in right now?
They're in some trouble. I think the injuries are one thing because, we see some teams get injuries and they can kind of rally next man up mentality. I just don't see enough talent on this roster to really have next man up mentality. This is a team that's generally driven by their defense and their star power in Lillard and McCollum. Lillard obviously has been showing up on a night in, night out basis. But McCollum is definitely the X factor at this point in time. But they're in trouble because, who knows how long it takes McCollum to get really into the flow of things. And the supporting cast for Lillard just isn't enough. And as we show, as it shows, you know, Lillard had 60 points and it wasn't even enough for a win.
Yeah, and the fact is, Zach Collins provided a different skill set than the rest of the front court. And Whiteside, not necessarily being mobile, Collins provides that. He's more of a modernized NBA big, the ability to knock down the three ball, give you that type of versatility. They were very high in him. So I think that just kind of hampers their season. Our guy Ryan Whitledge wrote a great article on OGGBasketball.com, so be sure to check that out. But I'm not really sure if they can handle these type of injuries, like you mentioned, Corey. It's like, who's going to step up? You can't ask Dame to do anymore. Even if CJ's, you know, hitting at a high level defensively, there's still some major question marks. Does this team need to make a trade to guarantee a playoff spot or even put themselves back in contention for the playoffs?
I mean, I think if they want to be, I mean, realistically, we've been teetering on this fence for a long time with the Blazers. They really don't have enough talent on this roster to make deep playoff runs. Last year, yes, they got to the Western Conference Finals. And they did beat a very good Nuggets team and a pretty good OKC team. But, you know, that it was really a benefit of how seeding played out in the Western Conference that they were able to get that kind of run. Because with the West now, I don't see almost any matchup, even where, let's say, the Blazers somehow were a 3 seed or a 4 seed. I think I would probably take the other side of that matchup in most matchups. Because I just don't think they have enough top-level talent to make a deep playoff run. I just don't like how the roster is currently constructed. A lot of guys who have struggled with injuries to begin with, now losing Collins hurts. Whiteside just hasn't been good. I mean, even when Pau Gasol comes back, can we really expect anything from Pau Gasol at this age? Probably not.
Not in the areas that they need.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you need to try and make a move. Maybe Simmons off the bench can be a nice offensive pop. I think he's got 17 tonight for them. But no, I think they need a guy like Kevin Love. Like, you need another big name to make a somewhat big three force in Portland to really be playoff contenders, or at least be threats in the playoffs, I should say.
Yeah, do you feel confident this team's going to make the playoffs right now, or are you kind of like worried that this could be the team in the West that kind of misses out and maybe a team like Dallas takes their spot?
No, I think they're on the bubble for me. And they're on the bubble with me because I'm looking at teams, like you mentioned, Dallas is a team. I think Minnesota deserves, like, just some thought to be in that conversation with how Towns and Wiggins have played at this point in time. There's still a lot of holes in that team. But I think they should be at least an honorable mention. And again, you know, the Phoenix Suns, you know, unfortunately, they got a very big win tonight over your Brooklyn Nets. But more or less so far this season, they've had a very good start to the year. So I think those teams, to my mind, are either in the same conversation as the Blazers, whereas going into the year, they weren't in the same conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point, especially with the injuries that are happening in Portland and the questions in the front court and how much pressure can you really put on Dame. But other injury news with Toronto Raptors, Kyle Lowry fractured his thumb. He's going to be out a few weeks. Serge Ibaka is, you know, day-to-day with an injury. How much does the Lowry injury hurt the Raptors in terms of their chances at home court, or they should be able to handle the load, no big deal, because Fred VanVleet's there, Siakam stepped up, OG's been amazing. Any concern in Toronto?
I mean, there should be some concern. It's the leader of your team. It's the second best player in your team, probably behind Pascal Siakam. So, I mean, it does matter. Losing Ibaka as well, that's front court help. That's a break for Marcus Gasol, who's up there in age. I think losing Lowry does hurt. Obviously, tonight, they're losing only 60-52 at halftime against the Lakers. Fred VanVleet has 13-5-5-2 as the starting point guard. So you definitely like that against the Lakers team, which has been playing really well. So they can probably sustain the injury. But, you know, again, it's you know, you can't afford to have Lowry get banged up and continue to miss time, right? So I think the threat is don't rush him back too soon to maybe have another injury occur.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger concern here is, you know, Lowry getting banged up and can he handle the injury? Is this something that's going to linger all season long? Is he going to get back in rhythm? You don't want to rush him, especially as he's getting up there in age. But the biggest injury news that happened for the Boston Celtics, Gordon Hayward broke his hand. The timetable on his return is not really out there. There's been some rumors that it could be up to a month or it could be even longer. What was your initial reaction to seeing Hayward going to miss time with an injury?
Sucks. It really, really sucks. That's what I thought. That's what I felt when I saw that notification pop up on my phone. Bill Simmons had like a funny like tweet thread that occurred from like, all right, I have to break it down. So what happened was he tweeted something about Gordon Hayward. He goes, no more ball stoppers. ball moves. Everyone's attacking. This is 2017 Gordon Hayward again. I can't speak for chemistry, but that looks pretty good too. 15 minutes after that, I should just delete Twitter, and it's a link saying Hayward exits with an injury. And then 15 minutes after that, it was, I'm covering myself in chicken blood and eating an OG board because it was announced that Hayward broke his hand. It sucks. This was a guy who finally looked to be back to his original form. On the road trip that the Celtics were on, he was on an absolute tear. I think he was shooting like, 75% from the field or 80% from the field. You know, he was looking extremely dangerous again. And it looked like the Celtics were a piece away from actually contending in the East, maybe. If they were able to get some front court help, maybe they could make a run with a core of Kemba, Hayward, Tatum, and Brown. And Smart, of course. But now, you know, there's a lot of questions. I don't think Boston, who's had very good success to this point in time, I think they're going to take a slight hit. The front court's still not great, and now you're losing a lot of your offense, Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward really helped Brad Stevens unlock that offense. You know, our guy Matt Esposito wrote a great piece on OTGBasketball.com on how it's kind of allowed the Celtics to unlock Kemba off ball. Now you need to put the ball back in Kemba's hands a lot more because Hayward was really good. Like, he was getting back up to that all-star level. His confidence was there. His decision-making was amazing. And he was playing very patient and playing in his role and not kind of forcing things, which we saw a lot of last year. So I agree with you, Corey. In one positive end, you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to kind of just pick up more minutes in that area. But since he was such a good player and you're already counting on those two other guys, it's going to hamper you a little bit, and it's going to force you to depend on more young guys and rookies.
No, definitely. There's definitely going to be a chance for one of these young guys to get an added workload in minutes. And obviously, you know, depending on whether or not he needs surgery for this fracture will be big to determine how soon we see him on the floor again.
100%. And it's like, are you concerned as Boston? It's like, you want to play as conservative as possible because, you know, his last injury, he was probably, I don't want to say he was a rush back, but it took him a long time to recover. It's like, is he going to be able to get confident after this? The one positive, I believe it was his non-shooting hand. So not having as much of an impact, but sad for Boston considering, I think at this point, they have the best record in the NBA, if not tied for the best record.
Yeah, I know following that game, they were tied. They had the best record in the East and the, Lakers were the top of the West, and it still sits as so. They're both 7-1 at this point in time.
So a big matchup, I believe, tomorrow night or Monday night when this drops, the Celtics matching up with the Mavericks. But, Corey, getting to the MVP race, let's talk about our MVP ladder so far. Who's at the top spot for you right now?
Do I have to go one first? Can we work the other way?
Yeah, we can work the other way. We could start from the bottom. Start from the bottom. Now we're here. Five. Yeah. All right, so who's your fifth one?
So are you ready for five?
Yeah.
So this is funny. I have Kyrie Irving as my five.
Okay. If I had done this before tonight's game, I probably would have had Kyrie Irving. I went with Joel Embiid here because the Nets record for me just isn't good enough for him to be in the MVP race.
Okay. And that's fair. I mean, obviously, for majority of the years, the Westbrook year is like the asterisk. Generally so, record is what speaks to this category.
Yeah, you have to be top four. And my four and five are essentially tied. I think my I'll say this about my rankings. My top three realistically can win it. Everything under four, five, and down is just like you have a chance, but you have to pick up your level of basketball or your team has to win a ton of games. But who you got at number four?
So at four right now, I have Luka Doncic.
Okay, I have the same thing.
You know, the triple-double watch, the fact that he's been – you know, just absolutely just carrying this Mavericks team for a lot of these games so far. I mean, he's just a force. I mean, this kid looks way older than 20.
I think, like, the fact is you mentioned carrying the team, and then just, like, in big moments, you know Luka's going to have the ball and he's going to make a play. And that matchup he had with LeBron, you know, a week ago when they kind of went at it one-on-one and went over overtime, and obviously the Lakers ended up winning that game. But that was just huge, and it kind of just – talked about his confidence in his stardom in this league and how good he really is going to be. But who do you got number three?
Number three for me is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Ooh, okay.
I think he's been steady. I think he's been fine. You know, I think he's still impacts the game in a lot of ways. I have no issue really with him in the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Bucks to me don't seem as dangerous as they were last year.
So for me, I have number three, Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, he's already had some vintage moments as in Clippers uniform, and it's only been, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season. Who do you got number two?
I have Kawhi Leonard number two.
Okay. I have LeBron James at number two. So we already kind of know how these rankings are going to switch up. I'm going to have Giannis at number one, and you're going to have LeBron at number one.
Yes, precisely. So our top three, we have the same guys in mind. So what was your rationale for Antetokounmpo first? And I'll give you my rationale for LeBron at first.
Well, I think Giannis is doing it essentially on his own. Where, you know, Chris Middleton, he's a good player. He's an all-star level player. Other guys in that team have not looked great. Eric Bledsoe's had good moments, had bad moments. Where LeBron isn't at number one is because there's a fair argument that AD could be fifth on this list. And then you have two MVP candidates at one team. And I just think when one of your teammates is playing so well, it kind of just hurts you in terms of your ranking, your ability to win the award, because like your load is just so much easier when you have a guy like Anthony Davis. There's possessions where LeBron's just throwing it to AD in the post and letting him do his things. Not to mention, AD's been great as a defensive player. He's had a couple of defensive player of the year caliber plays this season.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. So my rationale was, I mean, what really stuck out was the comeback win against the Bulls. It was a game where Anthony Davis wasn't good, and it was really just like LeBron James being at his best the entire game. 30-10-11 that game, shooting 52% from the field. And like watching that game, and then obviously they've had success. It was just the fact that, you know, LeBron can do it on any given night. Even if there are nights where his shooting percentages aren't as high, he's still facilitating, he's still working the offense. And the fact of the matter is, like, we talked so much about LeBron's defense being gone and washed last season. Like, he's back to, like, near Miami Heat defensive ability, LeBron James. Like, the man is able to stick with guards on the perimeter. He's not getting burned as much. He's not as lazy in switches on defense. Obviously, we know that in chase down blocks and protecting the rim, LeBron James has never had an issue doing that. His ability to read the court on where passes are going for steal. Like, it just feels like LeBron has awoken once again on the defensive end of the court, and that's really what bolstered me to put him number one, is the fact that the offensive game is still there, and now I'm once again seeing the defense.
Yeah, the defense has looked a lot better this year, and I think some of it is LeBron just taking onus and playing better, but also like having other good defensive players around him where they can run a good system, they can communicate, and he knows that if he's going to play 100%, he's going to have AD, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee behind him to kind of clean up some of his mistakes. So I think that Lakers team and defensively is definitely taking LeBron to another level and possibly going to take AD to another level. But any other thoughts on MVP ladder, Corey, before we move on?
I think Nikola Jokic, at least clutch-wise, is
two-game winners in two games.
Yeah, is making his way back into the conversation. In my running top 10, he is in my running top 10. I think he's been, you know, a little bit sluggish. Obviously, we mentioned this before, I think, in the last episode. He doesn't look like he's in the greatest of shape at the moment. But, you know, getting into the rhythm of things, having these two big game-winning shots for the Nuggets, he's starting to get into form.
Yeah, I would definitely put him in my top 10. I think I'd probably throw Dame Lillard in there as well. We mentioned Anthony Davis. I'd throw Kyrie in mine as well. And then maybe in like the bottom, you put Devin Booker.
I think Booker would be a mention. I also like, I've played around with like Cat possibly.
Oh, yeah. And Karl Anthony Towns for sure. Yeah.
Because I think all three centers right now, in Embiid, Jokic, and Cat, all of them have made good cases. I don't know. This is like a little bit off topic, but not really. Of those three centers, who have you liked the most? I know that's been like a really big conversation this past week.
Cat's been the best this season. Like, does that mean he's the best center of the three? No, but I think Cat's like done the most and played at the highest level. Because you mentioned, you know, Jokic was kind of like iffy, conditioning not looking great. And Joel Embiid hasn't necessarily had like a ton of like, oh, dominant moments where he's carried the team. It's been like, okay, the Sixers are really good. They have Al Horford, they have Tobias Harris, they have Richardson, Matisse Thybulle making plays off the bench. Like, there's a lot of pieces, and it feels like more so with the T-Wolves, it's like Karl Anthony Towns and then his sidekick now, Andrew Wiggins, making plays too.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I think I'd have him Kat, Embiid, and Jokic, even though I know Jokic just beat Embiid. I still think the fact that Jokic has been so bad defensively, I'm not sure if it's any better this past week. I haven't looked at the stats, but I know they were shooting 80% against him last week. That's just my one like big knock against Jokic. And it used to be my knock against Cat, right? Was the fact that his defense wasn't great. And now he at least puts in a lot of effort on that end.
Yeah, he's improved defensively a lot. And then also I'd say that Cat's improved a lot as a passer. He had a couple of Jokic-esque passes today against the Nuggets. But Corey, I'm going to pass it to you for a hot take shot fake.
And it's our first edition of Hot Take Shot Fake for the 2019-2020 NBA season.
You want to refresh the rules for him?
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to go through tweets that I found on Twitter. Some are good, some are bad, some are outlandish. That's not the point. Some of them are just going to be for a laugh. Some of them maybe we'll get into more of a talk about, but it's a hot take or no. Wait, what is it?
Hot take or shot fake? Yeah.
Forgot the own name of my own segment. Hot take means it's a good take. Shot fake means now we're holding up on this. We're doing like the Carmelo Anthony dribble on the court, pump fake, and run off. So first up, we have Billy Donovan is the perfect coach for the OKC rebuild. Hot take or shot
fake? Shot fake.
Ooh, why?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Billy Donovan is a great coach. He's kind of proved that over the last couple seasons. Some of it's been having to coach guys like Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Kevin Durant, like, you know, big ego guys that already kind of know what they're doing in the NBA. But I don't know if anything from Billy Donovan has made me think, like, this guy's going to develop these players to the best of their abilities. Like, we've seen what he's done with some of the other young guys on the roster. Obviously not any great talent, but I think you could get a better coach moving forward for this team, especially early on in the rebuild.
I'm still a big Billy Donovan fan. My Florida Gator love and the fact that he won two national titles probably clouds my judgment a little bit.
Just send him back to the Gators. You'll be good.
Yeah. Actually, they're supposed to be really good this year. They're like ranked number one in some people's polls. But I think, I don't know if he's the right coach for a rebuild, but I still do think he's a good NBA head coach.
We are recording this late on Sunday night. It is like over past 11. So we'll cut.
I watched basketball and football today. So like, you know, the sports are jostled together. My team, the Colts, lost to the Dolphins. Cut me some slack, people.
Cut them some slack. That one hurts us. So I'm not as high on Billy Donovan. I don't think he's a good NBA coach. I think he's kind of leveled himself as a solid coach. There's just been lack of adjustments and lack of schematic changes for him that have made me think like, okay, maybe this guy's just better off going to a lower level team or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Next up, hot take or shot fake. The Chicago Bulls are the worst team in the NBA. And I actually, like, I kind of thought about this. What do you think?
Nah, the New York Knicks are still in the NBA, so it's a shot fake.
Yeah, it's a shot fake. But I do think there are a lot worse than a lot of people thought to start this year. I think they've had some bad losses. They've obviously blown a couple games, but I definitely think it. Like, in no world did we think the Charlotte Hornets might be like better, at least as playing like team basketball, than the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls have just like a ton of issues, and the most frustrating thing is like occasionally they'll play a really good stretch of basketball or a really good quarter. You kind of mentioned earlier how the Lakers came back against the Bulls, and the Bulls were playing really good in that game, and then all of a sudden they completely crumbled, and there's just so many question marks, I think, from Boylan as a coach until the roster fit.
Yeah, I don't think I love the – I just don't really love Zach LaVine, right? Like, I think LaVine's a talented scorer. But there's too much of, like, a James Harden. I'm going to just, like, dribble atop the key for a little bit in them. And generally, they end up in some bad shots. And Lauri Markkanen, I'm a big fan of, but defensively, I mean, oof. The guy struggles to stay with guys. I mean, I know the opening play, I think, against the Lakers, Davis pretty much walked right through him for a dunk.
Yeah, he did. And I agree about LaVine. It's like he tries to be like James Harden sometimes, but he's only, like, 75% as talented.
Yeah.
So it's like he's great value. Exactly. So there's some issues in Chicago. I think like they have talent. It's just like I don't think the roster fits good, and maybe a trade of kind of addressing some of the needs of the team would help.
Next up, through the first few games of the season, whether he actually gets the votes or not, Tristan Thompson has played like an all-star. Hot take or shot fake?
No. He's not played like an all-star. I mean, he's been good. He's an all-star in his role, but I don't think I'll ever say that Tristan Thompson would be an all-star. The Cavs are 4-5. That's nice and all, but he's not doing anything like all-star level. A lot of his plays are still like high energy level plays, setting good screens, rebounding, putbacks, layups at the rim. It's not like he's crossing anybody up, doing step back three. So no Tristan Thompson all-star for me. Shot fake.
I think shot fake, but I will say trade value on the rise.
Yeah, 100%.
I think this is a guy we could see moved if a team's looking for a guy who can be a nuisance around the rim and rebound, because he has been rebounding out of decent clicks so far this season.
Yeah, he looks like the LeBron, the Tristan Thompson that played with LeBron when they won the finals. Like, he looks like very spry, back into his game. And I know another shout out to a piece Matt Esposito wrote as maybe the Celtics targeting him as a trade item.
Ooh, I wouldn't be against that at all. Next up, now this is a little bit testing your basketball. I mean, I know you know basketball, but this is like a throwback to older generations, a new time. If Larry Bird played in today's NBA, would we still consider him an NBA superstar? Hot take or shot take?
I'm going to say it's a hot take here. I mean, obviously the biggest issue for Larry Bird in his career was injuries that he, you know, his back kind of went out on him. He was a really good player when he was on the court. He would adjust fine to this time. And obviously he could shoot the three ball. Anybody who can shoot can play in this day and age.
I agree, hot take. I mean, they don't play defense. I mean, that's what I see. Like, you know, everyone says LeBron wouldn't last in the 90s because they played physical basketball. Well, Larry Bird would flourish in an era where you can't touch anyone. I mean, Larry Bird was getting taken to the ground by Bill Laimbeer in playoff series by the neck. I'm going to hot take on you on this. Next up. The New Orleans Pelicans should go tank mode for one more year to give Zion another piece and really have a great young core to grow and build with. Hot take, shot fake.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say shot fake here because, like, how much more young talent do you want on the roster? Like, if those guys aren't good, like, you have Brandon Ingram, who looks like he could be an all-star. Lonzo looks like he'd be a solid starting point guard. Let's see. Jackson Hayes has been getting some minutes. Like, he needs time to develop. Like,
I love Zion's Josh in a bigger role.
Exactly. You like Josh Hart. Alexander Walker has been solid, too. Like, they're just young guys that need time to develop. You could still tank this season, but I wouldn't do it to try to get a high draft pick. I would just do it to maybe get, like, Drew Holiday off the roster and, like, J.J. Redick and Derek Favors. So you could just go out and play all the young guys and let those vets kind of go to contending teams. But I wouldn't do it because I think I need another asset. Like, you guys, like, the Pelicans have a ton of young talent.
Yeah, I'm with shot fake. I don't see a need to bring in, like, another marquee number one overall pick to try and balance with vets and the other young guys. I think it'd be a little bit of a problem. Let's say we're trying to move Drew Holiday, maybe. But, again, they've shown no inclination of wanting to do that at all. Next up, and this one I thought was funny because of how the guy worded it, because he was like, I don't know if this is considered a hot take because of where we are currently in the NBA, but hot take, the Phoenix Suns still don't make the NBA playoffs.
That is funny how you worded it, and I think I might say it as a hot take. Like, the Suns just beat the Nets pretty bad tonight, and people say that I'm salty, but, like, something about the Suns, like, does not seem right. Like, there's just too many things happening that are just working out really well. Like, Ricky Rubio was knocking down jump shots on a regular basis tonight. Asked Utah how that went later into the season. Aaron Baines is shooting a crazy percentage from three. I think that's going to drop off. We mentioned Devin Booker as possibly, like, a dark horse MVP guy. He's shooting over 50% from three. Like, it's probably not going to last. I think they definitely can compete for the playoffs, but I'm not, like, confident, like, oh, Phoenix Suns are a playoff team. I think it might end up being the same.
Yeah, I'm with hot take. Because, again, like, right now, if you're looking at the playoff picture, underneath the Suns, you have the Clippers, who are a playoff lock. I'll just say teams out of the playoffs. You have Minnesota, OKC, Portland, Sacramento, and the Pelicans all out of the playoffs at this point in time. Pelicans, maybe they're already considered done, dead in the water. But, like, Blazers, Thunder, Timberwolves, and Kings. I think all of those teams have, in my mind, still, like, I think they're a playoff team more than I think of the Suns as a playoff team.
Yeah, I would put them at the same level as, like, OKC and Sacramento, because Sacramento's just been so disappointing. I'd give Portland a little bit more of a nod because they obviously have the experience, and Minnesota has Kat, who I think is better than Devin Booker. And I think they're a little bit more defensive-minded, where I think Phoenix is, like, just offensively, like, through the roof right now, and I eventually think they're going to cool off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, last but not least, I have one more. Hot take. This is me reading the tweet. Hot take, controversial, I'm sure. Utah Jazz's Donovan Mitchell is a top 8 player in the NBA. This guy's averages 26 and is ranked 7th in defensive win share currently. He's a very special player, and he is top 8.
Oh, God. Obviously, that's a shot fake. I just love how you read the tweet, though.
I have to, because anytime you go hot take controversial, I'm sure, the lead off, you have my attention. I think it's a shot fake as well, though. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's top 8. Maybe top 20. Maybe top 25, because we had him, I know, in our rankings, I think in the mid-30s. So I could see him being top 25, not top 8. That's fine.
Yeah, top 8 is wild. Like, and the top 10 is already pretty much locked up.
Yeah, to drop defensive win share is the reason why he's top 8. I mean, relax with your analytics, bub.
Yeah, like, come on, chill.
But, games your defensive win share analytics through 8 games, relax.
Yeah, I mean, like, Donovan Mitchell's great, but obviously not there yet. But, Corey, that was the last one you got. On to games of the week.
On to games of the week.
All right. You know, hopefully we don't get screwed with load management and injuries or just terrible play. And we can actually give you some games of the week.
That didn't go so well last time.
It did not. And like one game I felt really good about being a good game was Denver and Miami. And that was probably one of the worst games of the week. And then obviously I think we had Bucks and Clippers. Kawhi ended up pulling load management and playing the next night. But Monday night, what are you watching?
So Monday night, there's two games that stick out. I want to say honorable mention would be the Celtics Mavericks, but with Hayward out, maybe not so much so, but I still think that's an entertaining game. I'm actually looking forward to Rockets-Pelicans.
No defense at all.
No defense at all. There's going to be a lot of offense. You got two teams that really like to push the pace. So I think we could be in for another maybe, you know, 150 to 149 battle or something like that. That's my game of the night because I think that's going to be high scoring.
If I had to pick a matchup this week that I think could go over the Washington-Houston game that we saw earlier this year, it'd be that game right there.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm gonna go with Dallas and Boston. I think that'll be a really good game. And you mentioned Hayward being out. I think that almost evens the playing field a little bit. I want to see how Boston adapts. You know, KP struggled a little bit over the last few games. Not too happy about losing to the Knicks. And then also my honorable mention would probably be Toronto versus LA. You know, Kawhi playing his old team.
Yeah, that should be fun, unless he sits out last second.
All right, Tuesday night, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to my Pacers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I actually think my game of the week, or my game of the night, is Lakers-Suns. Pacific Division matchup, both teams in the playoffs. A good test for the Suns to kind of see where they stack up against one of the better teams in the West. And I think it might also be kind of what we've alluded to earlier in this podcast. How good are the Suns, right? When they actually match up against one of the bigger, another one of these big teams, do they have another good performance? So that's a game I'm looking to watch.
And right now they're beating some of the top teams. They're beating the Clippers. They're beating the Sixers. Now they're going to have a chance at the Lakers. I think that's going to be one of the top games of the night. And then if I was looking for a second one, I'd say the Nets and the Jazz would probably be a good matchup, seeing how the Nets kind of bounce back after a bad game against Phoenix. And then obviously Utah's trying to get things rolling. But on to Wednesday night, what are we looking forward to?
So I think honorable mention to me would be Raptors Trailblazers at 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, with Kyle Lowry not playing, almost said Lillard not playing, but Kyle Lowry not playing, McCollum not being so good, my honorable mention. I do think Clippers Rockets is probably the game of the night. Kawhi Leonard. I think Paul George will be playing on Wednesday as well. I think that's when
it's a possibility.
That could be an ESPN primetime game for Paul George's return, the Rockets. That could be fun.
It'd be so funny if it's Paul George's first game back and they rest Kawhi. But I think that would be like the top game to watch. I'd also give an honorable mention to Philadelphia and Orlando, Markelle Fultz revenge game.
Mm.
So something to keep an eye on. Thursday night, we're rolling through. What are we looking at?
Thursday, my honorable mention would probably be, this is a week night of games. I don't think I have an honorable mention. Maybe Hawks-Suns. Like that actually could be an intriguing matchup. I think the game of the night is Nets-Nuggets.
Yeah, that's like really the only essentially good game of the night because we have Miami-Cleveland. Miami could easily scrap them. Dallas, New York. Dallas
revenge
will probably
game
beat
for Porzingis because they did just lose to the Knicks last week.
Yeah, so I would expect them to bounce back, especially in MSG. The Knicks just got embarrassed by Cleveland tonight too, so there's some bad blood over there. Chicago, Milwaukee, obviously not a good one. Clippers and New Orleans, not a good one. And like you said, Hawks and Suns, honorable mention because both teams play high offense. But Nets and Nuggets should be the primetime game of the night, which it is on TNT.
And now I'll be Friday. On OTG Basketball on Twitter.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter @OTG Basketball. But Friday night, what's got your eye?
Friday again, not a great night of games. My honorable mention, surprisingly enough, would be Thunder Sixers. I think there's, I don't know, I just think that's like an interesting matchup. I don't, like, I have no interest in Lakers, Kings, Warriors, Celtics, blah. My game of the night, though, is Pacers, Rockets.
Yeah, I think that'll clearly be the best game of the night, will be Pacers, Rockets. Rockets trying to get their groove right. It'll be interesting seeing how these teams match up because the Pacers aren't essentially a flashy team. They're kind of just going to beat you or force you to beat them. Where the Rockets are going to give you an opportunity to beat them, they're going to kind of play careless. It's like opposite ends of style.
Yeah, I mean, they're. I mean, the Pacers don't like want to get out and run. They don't want to get out and run like the Rockets do.
Yeah.
So I think like just the tempos of their offenses will be interesting. And obviously, the Pacers still a little bit banged up. Be interesting to see how healthy they get for that matchup.
Maybe Miles Turner will be back for that game. But Saturday night, final one of the games of the week. What are you looking forward to?
Now, there's some good games on Saturday for me. So I think honorable mention would be Clippers Hawks. You know, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, Trae Young. I also would say honorable mention would be Toronto Raptors, Dallas Mavericks. But my game of the night is Pacers Bucks, and that is biased, and I don't care. It's my team going against arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference. And it's like a Malcolm Brogdon versus Eric Bledsoe revenge game. I've also been on this like heated, not heated, in my mind it's heated, debate with like Bucks fans and Bucks Twitter that Malcolm Brogdon is better than Eric Bledsoe. And I don't give a damn what anyone tells me. Keeping Bledsoe over Malcolm Brogdon was a mistake. And it's probably going to cost them Giannis Antetokounmpo in a couple of years. But yes, Bucks Pacers is my game of the night for Saturday.
Yeah, I would. It's like really hard to pick one specific game of the night because there's a lot of games that could be really competitive, starting with the Bucks and Pacers. Then you also have Rockets and T-Wolves, which should be good. I think Raptors and Mavericks will be a good game. Even Blazers and Spurs, and like you mentioned, Hawks and Clippers. So essentially, Saturday should be the best night of basketball, I think, this week.
Yeah, it's actually not a great week of basketball compared to last week. Like last week, we had some really good games.
Even the bad games were good.
Wild. Friday was wild.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of good games, like you said, but who knows? You know, we're going to see upsets this week, as we always do. But, Corey, anything else you want to toss in there before we get out of here?
Be careful on those edibles.
Oh, God, you're sick.
Be careful. You know, you don't, especially on, like, team flights, team buses, if you're with, like, a school club, just be careful. You don't know. There's side effects. They could throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, if the edible says, you know, don't eat the whole thing and eat half and then wait an hour, you probably should do that. But
we wish Deion Waiters to get back on track. I actually want to see Waiters Island at some point this year, but he's at a rocky start. And also, shout out to Deion Waiters for not ratting out whoever the Miami Heat believe gave him those gummies.
And all right, I know top three on the Heat most likely to give him the gummy, starting from 1 to 3.
One, James Johnson.
That's what everyone's. Yo, did you see the his like social media post afterwards?
No, I didn't.
He looked high as hell. Not even a little high. He's like laying, I don't know if it's his girlfriend, his wife, or whatever. He's laying with some girl, and my man looks like he just smoked 10 blunts. He definitely had the edible. He might have, if he didn't have, give it to Deion Waiters, somebody else gave it to him too.
Yeah, so maybe it's not James. Maybe James Johnson is also just one of the guys getting fed the edibles. So I think James Johnson would be one. Two would be like Haslam as a sleeper. Like Haslam just like don't give a damn, but like also Haslam, like I don't know if that'd be his style. And then three, I think Kelly Olynyk's got like a little bit of I like to chill out vibe to him.
Ooh, this is tough. You know, you can look at it two ways. Who's most likely to be the biggest like partier on the Miami Heat or like into edibles, or who's benefiting the most from Deion Waiters not being able to get minutes?
True. Wait, I guess that's the next question. Were these edibles tampered with to be than they were to knock out Deion?
I don't think they would. He just couldn't handle them. He just couldn't handle his edibles. So there's been some really good tweets. Obviously, we wish Deion the best, and hopefully he handles everything health and mentally perfectly fine. But as always, Corey, a pleasure talking hoops with you. You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, make sure you head to OTGBasketball.com for some NBA content and follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball.
Peace out, knuckleheads.